You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
We're going to finish up Acts chapter 1 looking at verse 21 through 26, and then we will go into Acts chapter 2 where we will spend most of our time in verses 1 through 4, but we'll go all the way to Acts chapter 2 verse 13. I've broken our message into three parts: chosen brethren, verses 21 through 26 of Acts chapter 1, church birth in verse 1 through 4 of Acts chapter 2, and crowd baffled in 5 through 13 of Acts 2. Now, let's get up to speed. So far, Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected. He spent 40 days being seen by myriads, massive crowds, up to 500 at one time. But there have been thousands who have seen him. And by the way, just for your own purposes, the number 40, he's there for 40 days. Do a study. We don't have time to develop it now. Maybe at a later date I will. But on the number 40, very interesting why 40 days, but that's for you. There's something fun you can work with. But Jesus said this over in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. He said this: I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So Jesus said, listen, I'll pray to the Father. I'm praying to God. I'm praying to my Father that he's going to give you a helper. And this helper, once he comes, he's going to abide with you forever. And so that's one of the things the Lord had been telling the disciples. But now, in this 40 days that Jesus has been walking around, he's about to depart, and he tells the disciples, he gives them very specific instructions. Listen to what he says back in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. We looked at this last week. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of from me, for John truly baptized with water, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So what did he tell them to do? Stay in Jerusalem
and wait.
That's it. Now, the reason why I point this out is I believe that Peter is doing something that he wasn't supposed to do. Well, why do I say that? Well, because Jesus didn't tell him to find another apostle. He didn't tell him that. So it's possible that Peter is off base. Why? Jesus said, go wait. He's not just waiting. What does he do? He decides he's gonna decide who's going to be a replacement for Judas. Now, I want you to know this here at HBC. People ask, well, how does someone become a leader at HBC? Well, first of all, I can't make a leader. I don't have the ability. Trust me, I've tried. I can't make leaders. So what we do here at HBC is we look for those who are leading. And what do we look for? We look for someone who, number one, they start serving. Great, that's a step one. Number two, they go above and beyond just serving in that ministry. They really are faithful. Number three, we also know that they are prone to prayer. They pray for the church. They pray for the body. They love the body. That's what a leader is. So then what we do is we recognize, hey, that person, God has called them to lead. How do I know that? Because they're leading. So at that point, we go, ah, there we go, leader. And so I want you to know, we don't go, hey, you know what? You want to be a deacon? Great, you're a deacon. Okay, do this, do that. No, 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 no. That doesn't work. What we look for is who's already doing the work. That's the person that we go, aha, God is working in them. It's something quite spectacular. But what does Peter do? Peter says, I'm Peter. I have a foot-shaped mouth. I'm going to stick it in there. We're going to decide who's going to replace Judas. Did Jesus tell him to do that? No. He said, go and wait. I love the fact that Peter is very human. Very human. Notice this. The Holy Spirit hasn't come upon him. But he's trying to do good things. He's trying to do the right thing. I believe God has someone picked. You know, they're going to make a choice, and we're never going to hear from that choice again. But God picked Paul. And Paul, we hear a little bit about him in the Bible. Yeah, he wrote most of the New Testament. So let's look. Now that's where we're at. And watch, let's look as the chosen brethren, verse 21 through 26, as they make a choice, as we look at filled with the Spirit. At this time, they're not filled with the Spirit. But we see here something very interesting. We see the qualifications for an apostle. Someone tells you they're an apostle? Great. See if they fit this. These qualifications. Verse 21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Ah, so if someone today says they're an apostle, I say, oh, wow, how old are you? You were there with Jesus when he was baptized and when he was taken up? No. So that's why I'm very leery when someone says, I'm Apostle so-and-so. Wow, that's impressive. No, listen, what's wrong with being a pastor or deacon or a missionary or an evangelist? What's wrong with those titles? Why do you got to go and take a title that's really not given anywhere in the scripture other than these guys here, the ones who were there at his baptism and there at his resurrection? Okay, verse 23. And they proposed two, Joseph called Barabbas, whose surname was Justice, and Matthias. Okay, so they got these two guys. They've been there that whole time. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Now they're right. And they're praying. Woohoo, yay. They're praying. That's awesome. So which of these two have you chosen? Oh, okay. So listen, that's so nice of you. I'm sure God's going, thank you for narrowing it down to two. Because, you know, I didn't know who I was going to pick. Notice how God chooses someone who's not even in their list. Besides that, if they would have said Paul at this time, they wouldn't have believed. They said, what, the killer? He kills us. Nope, that's who God chose. You, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two have you chosen to take part in the ministry and apostleship of which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. Ooh, yikes. Where do you think his own place is? I don't want to go there. Okay. And they cast lots, and lots fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Isn't that nice? Listen, I'll tell you, here at HBC, we never cast lots to see if God wants us to do A, B, or C. Why? Because if we cast lots, we're limiting within the lots what God can do. God will do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. And when I use lots, it's only whatever is in that lot. And God has a greater lot for you and I. What's your lot in life? Never mind, I'll stop. Stop. Listen, when they cast lots, it's going to fall on somebody. But I love the fact that, listen, they try to look spiritual, don't they? They pray, oh Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Choose from the two that we chose. Pick one of them. We have to be careful, folks. Sometimes we can do things that we think are spiritual because they sound spiritual and outwardly they look spiritual. But we must be careful that we don't go outside the parameters of what God wants. We can all be guilty of that. And that's why it's so important. Hear me on this. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit. So let's move to Acts chapter 2. So they made a choice, and we'll never hear from them. Matthias, we'll never hear from him. So that's great. Awesome. Good choice, guys. All right. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And here's where we're going to spend most of our time, because this is so important. The church birthed. Now, there's huge differences from between chapter 1 and chapter 2. Actually, to be honest, there's a huge difference from the whole Bible prior to Acts chapter 2 and the rest. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now comes into play and enters into mankind. And we take that for granted. Because we hear, hey, receive the Holy Spirit. He almost, you know, becomes like a package that you get from UPS. Did you get your Holy Spirit? It's not. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. For you to go back then in this time and say, hey, the Spirit of God is going to reside inside of you. That was mind-blowing, because only one guy could go into the holiest of holies and even be near the Spirit of God, in the vicinity of the Spirit of God at any one time. And God would have to cover himself in a cloud. We talked about that last week, I believe. But the difference, even the difference between chapter 1 and chapter 2. In chapter 1, the disciples are waiting for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Here in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit arrives. In chapter 1, they are instructed. In chapter 2, they are empowered. In chapter 1, they are restrained. In chapter 2, they're going to be released to go be witnesses. In chapter 1, they are still kind of fearful. In chapter 2, they become bold. Even Peter is going to give a sermon next week we'll look at. By the way, not a seeker-friendly sermon. Go ahead and read ahead, but wait until we pick it apart. You'll see what I mean next week. But John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. Once again, listen. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, listen to this, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. What is this Holy Spirit going to do in us? Convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Why? Because we need a Savior. We need a Savior. He will convict the world of sin, because without knowing that you and I are sinners, we don't realize we need a Savior. Until I knew I was a sinner, I didn't realize why Jesus had gone to the cross, and I didn't realize how beautiful it really was. Listen, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to impress people. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to dazzle people. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to entertain people. But unfortunately, so often, too often, the Holy Spirit becomes a source of entertainment and not at all the conviction of sin, as you're going to see today. But let's look at verse 1. Filled with the Spirit as the church is birthed. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, they were in one accord. That means they were unified. They were all in agreement. They're worshiping. They're praising. They're praying. They're all in one place. Now, it's Pentecost. And you go, great. No, listen. Pentecost simply means this, 50. It's 50 days after what? Well, it's 50 days after the Passover, after Jesus Christ actually has been raised from the dead. So it's been 7 Sundays since Christ. Isn't that interesting? 7 Sundays for the day of Pentecost. That's a whole other study. We don't have time to develop it. The other thing that Pentecost is, it's the festival of weeks, which is really the feast of the harvest. The harvest, the harvest has come in. Isn't that cool? Because what's going to happen here is the church is going to be birthed. These are going to be the first fruits. These are going to be the harvest of new believers. In fact, Peter's going to give a message, and many are going to get saved. So how appropriate for the harvest to begin the harvest of believers. How awesome is that? And so it's 50 days after the resurrection. It's the seventh Sunday after the resurrection. And by the way, here at HBC, on Pentecost Sunday, we do a special service where we will anoint with oil anyone who wants to be anointed and prayed over. It's a prayer service, a teaching worship, but we set aside some time. It's a very special time, but that's what this is. And so there are all kinds of misinterpretations. As we continue to look at what's about to happen here in these verses, there are so many misinterpretations of the rest of this verse, of the next verse. Now, I don't want to be I don't want to be dogmatic. I don't want to put God in a box. That's what some people accuse me of, is putting God in a box. I don't want to put God in a box. You know what I want to be? And you know what I want us to be?
Biblical.
Biblical. Do you realize that God framed himself within the covers of the Bible? He limits himself to what's in Scripture. How do I know this? Psalm 138, verse 2. Listen to this. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. So how praiseworthy is the name of God? Very? Would you agree? How holy is God's name? Very. How powerful is the name of God? Okay, watch this. I will worship towards your holy temple. I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you, listen to this, for God, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Oh, yeah. God puts his word above his name because his word is the essence of his name, of who he is. So folks, as we go through Scripture here as HBC, my desire, and I pray it's your desire, is that we don't deviate from the word. And we don't add to it, and we don't manipulate it. We just receive it as it is, and we're going to do that. So hang on to your hats. Watch. Verse 2, they're about to be filled with the Spirit. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind. This is speaking of like a violent wind. Now, is there a wind? No. It said the sound of wind. So there's just a violent noise. What does this noise sound like? I don't know. It says, some of you, mine says, as a rushing mighty wind. Some of yours might say like a rushing mighty wind. Some of yours might say like a roaring wind. The point is this, and it says, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were doing all that, sitting. They were there. There are a lot of them. They were doing that. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But I want you to know this. The writer, Luke, is trying to describe the sound the best way he can. And you got to understand, they have a limited experience. He can't say it sounded like, you know, 10 jet engines. Why? They've never seen a jet engine or heard it. So when he says like a violent rushing wind, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. This is, it's like trying to describe the color red to a blind person. Okay, you know, try to wrap your mind around that. Well, he's going, look, I don't have to, this is as close as I can get. So what did it sound like? We don't know. You know, it bugs me. Like, I watched a movie about Jesus Christ once, and it showed his baptism. And the scripture says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And in this movie, they dunked Jesus and brought him up, and then a little birdie came and sat on his shoulder. And I'm like, no, that's not, it said it was like a dove. The writer says, I don't know how to describe this. And he didn't say it was a little dove, a big dove. It was a dove the size of a bus. He didn't say, we have no idea. He's just saying, the closest thing I could describe it is it came down kind of wafty and came upon Christ. But man, that bugs me when they do that because it gives the people wrong impression. Like Jesus was some kind of, you know, spiritual statue that pigeons land on him or something. That's not the case. So that just bugs me when people do that in the movies. That's not biblical. It was like, they're trying to describe it. And here he's saying it was like a violent wind. There wasn't wind. It was just the sound of violent wind. I don't know, something good. Good morning. I saw some heads go, what was that? The Holy Spirit's here. Look out. All right. That's one way to get people to wake up. I don't know what it sounded like. I just know this. It was impressive. It was impressive. You're going to see. Verse 3. There appeared to them divided tongues. Listen to this. As of fire. Was it fire? Uh-uh. Did it look like fire? As best he could describe. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who gave them utterance? Who gave them utterance? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. Here's the danger, folks. I never want, and I suggest you never do this, make the gifts of the Spirit your badge. It's up to the Holy Spirit to give you a gift or to not give you a gift. It's up to the Holy Spirit when you will operate in that gift and when you won't operate with that gift. It's not up to us. You can't just pull it out and go, here's my badge. I have the gift of healing. Ta-da, I'm here. No, you know, it really bugs me. You know, people come to me and say, Pastor Randy, you prayed for me and God healed me. Great, God healed you, but it wasn't just my prayers. There were probably a bunch of people praying. It might have even been someone's prayer that didn't even lay hands on you that's been praying for you, that moved God's hand. We don't know. I try not to take credit for the times I've been at a prayer meeting. Sometimes they're like, five or six of us and we're praying and someone will come, Pastor Randy, you prayed for me, I got healed. I said, there were five or other six other people there. Why you put that on me? You know, I mean, great if God did, awesome. But I don't want to start thinking that I have the power. I got the power. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And neither should you. Neither should you. It's just, when people are like, you know, oh yes, I prayed for so-and-so and they got healed. I'm like, God, stop it. Don't do that. Give glory to God. God healed them. It wasn't you praying. You know, you have the same prayer power I do. I have the same prayer power that you do, whether you like it or not. I do. We have the same Holy Spirit. You don't have less spirit than Greg Laurie or Billy Graham when he was alive. You have the same spirit. We just need to be praying and believing. We need to not wear the gifts of the Spirit like a badge of honor. It is honor. It is honor to be able to do something for the Lord, for His glory, and to bless His people. But it shouldn't be our credentials. Oh, I have the gift of tongues. Well, good for you. You know what else we shouldn't use them as? They shouldn't be collectible cards. Oh, which ones do you have? Oh, here's what I have. I have a rare one. They're not collectible cards. Listen, I might have the gift of forgiveness today and then hold bitterness towards you tomorrow. You know, that day God graced me with the gift of forgiveness. Listen, I want to have the gift every day, don't get me wrong, but I'm just giving you an example. It's up to God to decide. And by the way, real quick, I didn't mention this. Revival. Someone came up to me not too long ago. It goes, Pastor, you know, we're going to have revival. I'm like, I don't know. Isn't that up to the Holy Spirit to decide when revival is going to take place? You know what we're going to have? We're going to have church. We're going to study the Word. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. But it is so presumptuous to go revival next week. Really? Who told you? Well, I'm just believing God. Well, that's, I believe Him every day that He can bring revival. Revival starts in my own heart. And it starts in your heart. And so we just got to be careful to be biblical. We got to be careful not to get prideful and presumptuous. We studied this not too long ago, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. Just so you know that I'm not just making this up. Romans chapter 3. Chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion with our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So you see, we're all given different gifts. We're all given different measure of gifts. We have to be careful that the gift doesn't become what we worship. Someone said this. They said, don't find your Christian identity. Don't find fulfillment in God's calling or his gifts in your life. Be satisfied with Jesus Christ himself. So there's some people who put so much emphasis on gifts, gifting, that Christ becomes a footnote. Christ is the person, the satisfaction, the fulfillment. And then watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, same Lord. There are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What is the Spirit's gifts for? Who's it for? The profit of all. Hang that on your belt, please. We're going to need that a little later. So when you receive a spiritual gift, is it to be hoarded and collected and for you to go, yep, I got that one, and I got that one, and I got that one. Oh, you don't have that one? Oh, well. No, they're not to be collected. The gifts that you have, and by the way, if you are saved, you have gifts. They are to be used for the profit of who? Of all. Okay. According to verse 11 that we just read, who decides how the gifts are distributed? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can pick the gifts that he wants to give me. Can I pick the gifts that I want? No. I can pray for them, but does it mean he's going to give them to me? No. Can I give you the gifts that you want? You sure? Can I teach you a gift? Maybe I have a gift. Maybe I have the gift of prophecy. Can I teach it to you? Can I teach you tongues? Can I teach you healing? No. Why? Because it's up to God. It's up to the Spirit. So what is the filling of the Spirit for in the church? Well, Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. You want to know what the gift of the Spirit, what it's for in the church? Here's what it's for. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Now, please let me explain. Paul isn't saying, you know what I want to do? I want to see you so that I can impart to you a gift. I can teach you how to... No. What he's saying is, I want to exercise my gift by being around you, because the gifts I have are for the profit of all. So he's like, I want to come around you, and I'm going to prove it to you by this verse. He says, I want to come around you so that I can exercise my gift, and I can bless you with the gift that I have. Watch. He says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. See, he wants to come and establish them in their faith. That is, and he goes, let me explain, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both you, of you and me. So he says, look, I want to come and I want you to share your faith with me, and I impart my faith to you. You'll be established. I'll be encouraged. You see, so he's not saying I'm coming there to teach you. He's coming there to share the gifts. See, the gifts that are given are to be given. The gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit are to be given. It's the only time, I've said this before, the only re-gifting that is good is when it's the Holy Spirit. Okay? When it's using your gift to bless others. Now, there are a lot of people in the church that have amazing abilities. But abilities are not gifting. You want to know how to tell the difference between your ability and God's gifting? Here you go. Abilities are what you were able to do before you were saved. Gifting is what you do only after you've been saved. Because listen, gifting is not natural, it's supernatural. I have talents that I had prior to being saved. I could sing, but God said, that's good, but that's not spiritual gift. He said, your gift is going to be so opposite of that, I'm going to use an idiot to teach the Bible. That's supernatural. It's supernatural. Listen, the cool part is for me to teach and y'all sit there and listen to this guy teach. That's a miracle. I love all the amens. That's awesome. Listen. Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. I love it. I want him to receive the glory. But if it's something, you know, if I got up here and I sang and did all this stuff, well, that's something I did even before I was a Christian. What spiritual, supernatural gift is God giving you? It's something that only came about in your life since you've been saved. Now, here's the thing. If you Rolodex of your life and you go through and you go, ooh, I can't find anything, that's not because the Holy Spirit isn't giving it to you. It may be because you're not operating in the Holy Spirit. But it's up to the Holy Spirit to give you what he wants to give you. We have to be careful of what? Human manipulation, human imagination, and human exaggeration. Manipulating the word, exaggeration, going outside of the word, and imagination, making up stuff that isn't even in the word. Now, I'm going to show you a video here in a moment. And I want you to know this. I'm not picking on. In fact, I told the first. I was almost in tears when I was putting this video together because it was breaking my heart. So I'm not doing this as a joke. I'm not doing this to mock. I'm doing this to show you that this is not good. But let me read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 before I show you this video. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here comes the bomb, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Why? When I'm operating in the Spirit and I have self-control, then I'm going to stay within the parameters of God's Word and I'm not going to deviate from that because I'm going to exercise what? Self-control. Once again, I'm not mocking. I'm grieving in my heart over this video. Watch. This is called Holy Spirit laughter.
The Lord then began to speak to me. He said to me again, the Spirit, and you notice, and I spoke some of that out, not all of it. The Spirit of seeing, the Spirit of knowing, will come into man and say, now you've seen a measure of it. Talking about me. You've seen a measure of it through the ears. But now then you see a full manifestation. It'll not come into full manifestation just to begin with, but little by little, here a little, there a little. And as you learn to flow, it'll come. Hallelujah, in the fuller manifestation. This is it. Shemoholikea. Both of you stand up because you're in this together. This is just the beginning. You think it's wonderful. You think it's marvelous. And it is wonderful. What that? Woo! Ha! Ha ha ha! But you haven't seen the best yet. Now, sometimes I just speak by inspired utterance in the known tongue by prophecy. Then sometimes I'll speak with tongues and then interpret. But it's the same thing. Can you see that? And so it's a demesico, stamalachi, stamalachi, stamalachi. Struggle has been long. Test has been hard. The trial has been difficult. But this is it. Summer holiday.
In the name of Jesus. Yeah, I see that, and I feel bad for those people because they want God. They're seeking, they're going there. They're just being deceived. But I also know it's their lack of spending time in the Word and asking for God to show them truth. That's why we have to be discerning. And that's their whole service. That's the whole service. You can watch the whole thing. And then the preacher will then begin to ask for get tithes and I'll give your money and give and every week it's give your money, give your money. It's taking advantage of people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. In this, watch this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So he says, in this you're rejoicing during a trial, a grieving trial, and trials plural. Watch this, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, who not seen you love, you love the Lord, you haven't seen him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. See, that's what they're saying that is. They're saying that's joy inexpressible. No, what he's talking about is having joy in a trial. And you go, I don't know why I can go through this. And people are like, how can you have joy? Listen, I can't explain it. You need to meet Jesus. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about convulsing and laughing hysterically and really being foolish. All in the name of Jesus? That brings glory to Jesus Christ? That's not filled with the Spirit. And let's go on. Let's explore this even more. Let's look at the crowd baffled in verse 5 through 13. Watch this. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And so dwelling, that means they've come here. This is a festival. And when it says devout men, it doesn't mean you get the connotation that, oh, these were godly. No, no, it doesn't say godly. It was devout. They were religious. And that's why they're there for the festival. They are faithful to come to Pentecost, and they're coming from all over the world, different languages, different nations. Verse 6. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Now, I want you to know this. There's a reason that God had the Holy Spirit arrive with a big, loud noise. Whatever the noise was. Because God could have had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could have showed up quietly without anyone noticing. How do I know this? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Elijah, look what it says. Then he said, "Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord." Whew. But the Lord was not in the wind. Uh-oh. "After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice." You ever have that still small voice? Right? You're going to do something and you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you. "Randy, don't do it." Which would be weird if the Holy Spirit said to you, "Randy, don't do it." But but you know, put your name in there. But I've heard the Lord say, "Randy, go and do this. Go over here." I'm like, "Lord." And here's the thing. It's still and small. It's not demanding, it's not a yell, but it's very authoritative. And and I know it's him. He's not condemning, but I know it's him. So God came in a mighty, violent sound. The wind came for a purpose. That sound came for a purpose. What was it? Look, to get the crowd to come, because the Holy Spirit has something He wants them to see, and something He wants them to hear. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language, tongue. Was it gibberish? Uh-uh. No. It was a language. And they go, "He's speaking German. Uh-uh, he's speaking French. Uh-uh, he's speaking Spanish. They each heard it in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled. Yeah. They're going, "What's going on?" Saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galatians? How is it that we hear each in our own language which we were born?" Now, isn't that interesting? Everyone heard them speak in their own language. And they go, "How is it that we each hear them in our own language?" In other words, you know, like if everyone was here and we had 300 people from 300 different nations represented back over here, and we all started praying, and they all heard the prayer in their own language. I heard it in French. I heard it in Spanish. That's what's happening. So is it really a gift of a work of tongues, or is it a work of ears? Well, the fact of the matter is, it's actually interpretation. Each one of these people was given the gift of interpretation because it was given to them in their own language. Now, you want something for you to chew on? Those that heard and had the interpretation, they're not even filled with the Spirit. They're not even believers yet. Isn't that wild? But God had a purpose in this. God always has a purpose in giving gifts or having his gifts work. What is the purpose? to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's the point. To point to Jesus. There's a Savior. Every gift we have should point people to Jesus, not draw attention to ourselves. That is so wrong. I can't even tell you how wrong that is. It is wrong. Oh, real quick. I didn't share this with you. You guys are getting a lot of stuff I didn't share with first service. You know, sometimes I counsel people. I want to share something else that's wrong. I got a little extra time. You know what else is wrong? Well, sometimes I counsel people and they come up to me and they'll be in the counseling session. But Pastor Randy, I can't change. What's your name? Jimmy? I don't see Jehovah. Jehovah is the only one who can't change. When you say you can't change, you're ascribing a God attribute to yourself. Stop it. We can all change. We just don't want to change. Yeah. Listen, it's all about Him. Quit drawing attention to ourselves. It's about Jesus. If it doesn't bring Him glory, then what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. Yeah. Verse 9. So who were these people? I'm glad you asked. Verse 9. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. So they're all over the place. They're from all over the place. So you got to ask this. So they, all these different people, heard in their own tongue. What did they hear? Pastor Annie, what did they hear? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look. We hear them speaking in our own tongues. Here you go. The wonderful works of God. They didn't hear, repent. They didn't hear, confess, you're a sinner. They didn't hear, oh, you need to tithe. They didn't hear, hey, you know what? All of you are going to be saved. They didn't hear, you know what? In here, Jimmy, come forward. You're a future pastor. Hey, Sally, you're a missionary. You're going to affect hundreds. They didn't hear any of that junk. But you know what? You go to some of these churches where they're speaking in tongues, and that's what they'll tell you that the tongue was. Someone in this church is in sin. The church needs to repent. We need to give more. What does that have to do with the wonderful works of God? When a real tongue is spoken and a real interpretation, it's going to... First of all, the tongue comes from who? The interpretation comes from who? And the Holy Spirit's always talking about... And Jesus. To convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So if you have a tongue, or someone has a tongue, and it's anything other than the mighty works of God, that person is off. And that isn't from the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit only talks about Jesus and gives glory to the Father and to the Son. Period. Now, not only that. Now I want you to remember, I'm not making this up. I'm showing you from Scripture. I don't have an opinion in this. I have a God who tells me what my opinion is. But there should be order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27, 28, and 29. Listen to this. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in a turn, not at the same time, each one at a time, and let one interpret. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak and let others judge. Now, I've been to churches where everyone, the pastor says, let's praise the Lord. And everyone starts speaking in tongues and it's a loud ruckus. And I'm like, do you guys not read your Bible? Because I read my Bible and it says you don't do that. Because who's going to interpret if everyone's speaking? But on top of that, sure should be one or two, no more than three. No more than three. I'm sorry, that's God's word. You cannot violate God's word. And then if the interpreter isn't speaking of the mighty works of God, then that's not a tongue. And then it says, listen, that person should shut up. Be silent, because you're drawing attention to yourself. That's all you're doing is you're putting on a show. You're trying to entertain. You're showing everyone you got a badge and you're trying to collect all the cards. Stop it. Stop it. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed. Amazed? Okay, I get it. They're amazed. They're not just amazed so that we know just how blown their mind is. They're amazed and perplexed. Wow. Okay. So they're like going, oh gosh, what's going on? Oh gosh, what's going on? Saying to one another, whatever could this mean? What's going on? And then others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Now, I'm bringing an emphasis right there. Why? Because some of these pastors that embrace this stuff right here, they say, see, when they were filled with the Spirit, it looked like they were drunk, and that's what we were doing. Sorry, you can't do that. Some were amazed and perplexed, and they're going, what does this mean? Something, this is supernatural. Others were mocking, saying this, they're making up stuff. They don't know what to say about this. They want to excuse it away. They don't want to say this is God. This is a God thing. So they're making up stuff. But where do they get this cockamamie idea? Weird. Why? Because I'd go up to the mocker and say, wait. Who heard a loud noise like a rushing wind and then came over here? Wasn't that you? Who heard these people when their prayer in their own language, speaking the mighty works of God? Wasn't that you? Maybe you're the one who is drunk. Not them. You see, the person is trying to excuse away the conviction in their heart. There is no indication that these people were falling on the ground, convulsing, laughing hysterically, nothing like that. In fact, the Holy Spirit and the Scripture says they were mocking what they were doing. Ephesians, that's why Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20 says this. See then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, make sure the things you are doing, every foot, every action, every word is in place according to Scripture. Watch this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Don't look foolish, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. Here you go. But understand what the will of God is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. In other words, don't be drunk with wine, because when you're drunk with wine, you're out of control. Like that video I showed you. That's out of control. He says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Why? The Spirit brings self-control, the opposite of wine. And then watch this. Here you go. Speaking to one another with convulsions and laughter and jumping. That doesn't say that. Look what it says. Speaking to one another in psalms. That's Scripture. Hymns. That's traditional word. We did some traditional worship today. And spiritual songs, that's something new that God is doing today. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of that, there's nothing out of control there. There's no one falling down. There's no one running around. There's no one screaming and laughing into a microphone. What it is just someone filled with the Spirit, filled with wisdom, carefully choosing the steps they're taking, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another, edifying, and all that, giving thanks to the Father for Jesus Christ. You know what that is? That's called being filled with the Spirit. Listen, I don't have to speak in tongues or pray for healing or do any of that stuff to be filled with. Here you go. You know what the biggest evidence of being filled with the Spirit is? You know when it shows that you are the most filled with the Spirit? You know when that is? When you can forgive the person who's hurt you the most. There is no greater example. I could sit up here and speak in a tongue all day long and then turn around and hate you. Oh gosh, aren't you filled with the Spirit? See, that's show. There's a difference. If you're truly filled with the Spirit, forgiveness and love and kindness and gentleness and self-control, all these things will be evident. So here's my suggestion. Why don't we all pray for God to fill us with His Spirit? Why don't we pray to God that God would give us the gifts that He wants to give us so that we can be a blessing to the body and be those who convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment outside of the church. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And what a great purpose to give God all the glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You desire to use us, to fill us, to bring Your glory into fruition through our lives, through our foolishness that becomes wisdom as we yield to You. Father, I used to be foolish. I don't want to receive You and be more foolish. God, help us. Help us to have discerning spirit. Help us to know Your word. Help us to walk right according to what You say and not what men try to convince us is right. God, help us to be broken before a holy God, before a thrice holy God. Lord Jesus, You are so beautiful and deserving of honor and praise, not foolishness. God, that this measly life would give You glory in some way, God. Would make this life worth something. God, that we all here, everyone here, my brothers and sisters, instruments of righteousness, instruments of praise, instruments of glory, vessels fit for honor, vessels fit for Your Holy Spirit to infill us, Lord. Holy Spirit of a God of order, a God of dignity, God of power, a righteous God. Lord, we want all the gifts You could give us. We want to operate in every gift You could possibly bestow upon us, but only as You see fit, when You see fit. And Lord, we want to yield to You to the uttermost, Lord. And I can't wait, God, to be in Your presence. Oh, so good. And so for now, Lord, I'll be glad that Your presence is in me and in us and in this house. But Lord, to go before Your throne is our dream, is our hope, is our future. Lord, we love You, praise You, and honor You. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Let's stand, sing one last song.